The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show, broadcast simultaneously on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, as well as the Overreaction Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at Joe Miller Wired. And this episode is brought to you by the Market Dominator. If you are in the market to buy or sell a home, please give my good friend, my realtor buddy, John Spaschek, and the Market Dominator team a call. You can reach him at 716-570-3298. It is good to have all of you who are joining me live right now. Welcome into the program. Please do me a favor. Whatever platform you are consuming this on right now, live, please like, please subscribe. We are Super Chat Live on the Buffalo Rumbling side. And also, if you were consuming this podcast in that form, in a podcast, in an audio form on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, please also like and subscribe. Also, please tell a friend about this show. And like I always say here, as those of you who are jumping into the comments section, whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, which this one actually particularly does, a decaf cup of coffee. But if this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, on the drive to work, or watching me live right now, let me just say one more time, welcome. It is so good to have you. I've got some good news for some of you, and I've got some bad news for some of you. Stephon Diggs. This show is going to be about Stephon Diggs, and it's funny because even after I posted my kind of lead into the show, over the last 24 hours or so, there's a lot of people that's like, oh, it seems like the whole offseason is going to be people talking about Stephon Diggs. Why don't I just log off now? So that's some of the bad news. But the real bad news for some of you and the good news for some of you is that, Stephon Diggs isn't going anywhere in 2024. I'm here to tell you right now that Stephon Diggs will be a Buffalo Bill in 2024. However, before we get to any of that, got a little bit of news, a little bit of update coming to you. I'm going to be giving you some additional content this off season. You're going to be able to find that content, that additional content, not on Buffalo Rumblings. You're going to find it on the Overreaction Sports Network, which is my network. It's been in existence for a long time, kind of in the background. If you remember, I did some stuff last year, Rapid Fire Fridays, Wake Up Wednesdays, Mafia Monday, stuff like that. But you're going to be, as the off season kind of wanes and goes, I'm going to be doing less stuff on Rumblings and pretty much doing all of my stuff on the Overreaction side of the house. So do me a favor, make a note, a mental note, or a physical note, a note on your phone, whatever. Please go to the Overreaction Sports Network podcast and subscribe there. And then also on YouTube, jump over to the Overreaction podcast on YouTube, subscribe there. Also thumbs up both there and Buffalo Rumblings. And be on the lookout as well for the Twitter handle, the Instagram handle, as well as the TikTok handle. And a special quick shout out to Savage Trish, who ran my social media this year for me and did an absolute bang up, fantastic, killer job with all of that. Thank you so, so much, Trish, for just being a big part of this show. But we are going to be talking about Stephon Diggs. I threw a tweet out yesterday that basically just said, as the title of this show is, should I stay or should I go in regards to Stephon Diggs? And I would say that the mafia is very yin and yang on this. They're either yes, you know, Stephon Diggs is an integral part of this team, is an integral part of this offense, or they're very much like, I'm done with this prima donna, I'm done with the diva, get this guy out of here as soon as possible. And I just asked that people would post their thoughts on how the Buffalo Bills and Stephon Diggs would be handled this season. And I'm going to give you some of those now. Anthony Sepsi, I think it's how it's pronounced, says, done with the drama. Cut a deal with the Cowboys and he will restructure gladly. His indifference is not conducive to a championship culture. Karen, hashtag City of Good Neighbors, says he's not going anywhere. Cap hit. He's still an elite receiver. And he said in interviews he wants to retire a Buffalo Bill. He's screwing with the national media because they keep screwing around with him, creating drama where there isn't any. It's tiring, and I don't blame him. Hashtag go Bills. Sal Fresco says he's not going anywhere. Contract won't allow it. Bean is going to have to hit on like two wide receivers this draft to phase him out. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement, Sal. My buddy Tim Ashenfelter says, sorry, I don't get into the offseason drama. Sure, read my post, but I do not fret over things I cannot control. That's fair. My guy Jason over in Scotland, the Scottish Bills Mafia. Diggs speaks a lot of words, but doesn't actually say very much, which then becomes a media storm. And this is another offseason with Stephon where it begins. I don't follow it now. It's just babble. Blondie says, I can't see a trade working out positively for us, and cutting him isn't an option. So he should stay. But Bean desperately needs to hit on a wide receiver too in the draft. So we see a recurring theme here. There are other ones here, like EC Sepsi, which I did EC actually post twice? No, that apparently I'm guessing these two are related and they're in the same camp together. He needs to go, unfit to wear the C, let alone the jersey. Paths to victory are varied, but one thing is certain: championship culture is not divisive or distracting. He is both, whether or whatever his reasons are. He lacks the tenets of leadership and focus to be a champion. That's pretty tough. Leon B has the GIF that just says, bye, Felicia. Mark says he should stay. We have another, we have no other option for wide receiver one. Cap says if he wants out and he's willing to void his contract, then sure, let him go. Otherwise, the dead hit is so ludicrous, he's staying put. So there's a lot of feelings, and people are all up in their emotions, both on each side of this fence. Again, the yin and yang. There's also people that are very kind of maybe in the middle. Right. I am a person who believes that Stephon Diggs is going to be here because he is. And I'm also a person that wants him on this football team. But we're going to get into some stuff. And I'm not going to keep you long. Stephon Diggs, as we all know, and just even from reading some of that stuff, has been a much embattled figure in the press the last year or so. And, you know, a proverbial fire at one point was literally burning between him and the Buffalo Bills and some of his teammates. Some of it was his fault. Some of it wasn't necessarily his fault. Beginning last season, we all know the scene. The Bengals are in Buffalo, playoffs. I was at the game. The Bills are getting completely embarrassed to the point that when the game was over, the mafia walked out of that stadium pretty much in silence. And we've got the scene that forever will stick in our minds of Steph with his arm straight out, shouting back at what looked to be an ignoring Josh Allen. At that point in time, Joe Brady was the quarterback's coach, was sitting next to Josh, and he looked up, right? Because he heard the noise, but Josh kept his head down. They were obviously both frustrated, Josh and Steph, by the results that they were getting in that football game where nothing was working. The smoke at that moment began to start. And then it was rumored, and I can tell you from sources that it was mostly true, there was a disconnection between Steph and this team and his teammates during the 2023 offseason. The smoke was building. But where was the smoke coming from? Who was it coming from? What was the cause of the smoke? What was the reason for the smoke? And why was there so much tension between Steph and the outcome of the last game of the season, the way the season went, the way the season ended? What was the tension between Steph and the Bills, who Steph still, I think, has the Buffalo Bills blocked on his Instagram or his Twitter or something like that? I think Instagram, maybe Twitter. I don't think he's ever unblocked them. At least that's what somebody told me, or hasn't followed him, or they haven't. I'm not exactly sure. I know that the Bills cannot tag Stephon Diggs. We saw it in the Pro Bowl voting. Where was the smoke coming from? And then the Sean McDermott, I'm very concerned, event happens prior to mandatory minicamp, and we had bona fide fire. Fire. There was fire going on. Stephon Diggs is released. First day of minicamp, Stephon Diggs shows up. They send him home. We all know it. Sean McDermott, I'm very concerned. Very concerned that he's not here. Bang, fire's blazing. Almost borderline out of control. We were all up in arms. What is going on? But just as quickly as the fire kind of had flamed up, it also cooled off. It was smoothed over. Water was poured on the fire. Cooler heads, as they like to say, prevailed. We can only speculate at this point in time what the beef was and what it took for them to kind of get on the same page, the words that were spoken, the agreements that were made, and the stories that were told to kind of put people or give people perspective on how or why they felt the way that they felt. But they were ready to, and they did turn the page for the 2023 season. And in the 2023 season, despite what some of the tweeters said and despite what some people feel, Stephon Diggs was an active teammate and leader on this football team. He was an active character, personality with the fans pregame, every game. Steph was, for all intents and purposes, and for you can't say otherwise, was back to his old self. The fire was out completely. There was no smoke. There was no fire. But the national media continued to stoke a fire that had had cold water poured all over it. There was no steam even coming out of the fire pit any longer, but they had continued to try to get this smoke to continue, try to get this fire to continue. It was a national undercurrent. No matter what any other receiver did around the entire league, to include some of the stuff that, you know, Jamar Chase said in postgame and weekly pressers, like none of that was, it was worse than anything that we ever heard come out of the Bills camp, but none of that never made the attention as much as Stephon Diggs wants out of Buffalo. He hates it here. He hates it there, I should say. And like clockwork, the beginning of the 2024 season starts, and it finds local and national talking heads once again down in the dirt trying to rub sticks together, doing whatever they can to find a story and start a fire where, frankly, no story exists.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Cameron Wolf from the NFL Network recently caught up with Stephon Diggs at the Pro Bowl and interviewed him, and this is that interview.
Congrats on another Pro Bowl for a year. How do you maybe corral the celebration of what you've got with how the season ended for you guys?
I mean, we had a couple weeks to decompress, especially considering how the season ended. I had a conversation with a couple of my close friends and, you know, my peers. And, of course, the season ended how we won it. Of course, some plays that I want back. Of course, I know it's plays we all want back, but more so interpersonally that, you know, some more out there. You know what I'm saying? We can say it every year. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully wishing, you know what I'm saying, getting as far as we can. We got a lot of talent. But, you know, as the season ended, of course, it's just some shit you want back, you know what I'm saying? And you want to go as far as you can, and, you know what I'm saying? It's just not a, it's not a one-person sport, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you want everything, and you want the glory, all that type of good stuff, but, you know what I'm saying, that day we came up a little short.
You say you, there's obviously stuff you want back.
Yeah.
The year seemed a little odd for you, you know? You weren't getting a lot of touches at some part of the season, and then obviously the last game, a little rough, you know? Had maybe a drop. I don't know if you count that account as a drop.
Like I said, that's one of the plays I actually want back. I count all the plays. If I touch it, I drop it, you know what I'm saying? If I get one hand or the finger on it, I still count it. That's why I like, you know, mainly I'm always accountable first, you know what I'm saying? As a player, y'all know me for a long time. Of course, like, and even just this season, it's in its total, like, the balance of it, you know what I'm saying, rolling with the punches, you know, the first 8 games and the last 8 games or 9 games or 10 games, however you dice it, it's just, it was a different picture, you know what I'm saying? It's something I had to get adjusted to, you know, as a teammate, just rolling with the punches, being the best teammate you could be, best player you could be, and keep growing from it, so.
I know, obviously, a lot of people outside of the building want to speculate on you and Josh's relationship. What does that mean? How would you describe where you guys are and moving
Josh
forward, given what you just discussed?
Yeah, I mean, I'll kind of touch on that multiple times, you know what I'm saying? I kind of like, at this point where I am, I kind of let everybody feel how they feel, you know what I'm saying? If you got your opinion, it's not an opinion-based business, it's a money-based business and a number-based business. So for me, I try to leave the personal out of it, you know what I'm saying? My personal relationship is my personal relationship. It's for the people outside of a...
My personal relationship with him is my personal relationship with him.
Relationship to kind of speculate or kind of like draw conclusions or kind of figure out as they go. But people that's involved in between the two people or anybody else involved are the people that know. So for me, you know, I get tired of the same story over and over.
Absolutely.
It is what it is, you know what I'm saying, for everybody else. It's a new offseason for you to play around with.
You talk about offseason, last one for me. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be talk about what is next.
Yeah.
Obviously, contract becomes a thing and you guys' cap situation. Yeah. Where you think you'll be? You think you'll be a Bill next season?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel like as far as like with the money and all that type of stuff, like, I can't control none of that. You know what I'm saying? I kind of put my hat on and, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's a long offseason in front of me. As far as like with the future, I don't have any surprises for you right now, but for me, I'm going to still beat me regardless.
You know, I don't fault him for asking those questions. They're questions that maybe have to be asked, but I just, you know, I'm not looking forward to an offseason filled with more of that nonsense. The reality is to me, that sounds like a guy in Steph Diggs that's not, he doesn't have any negative energy. Sounds like a guy in Stephon Diggs that is accountable with the words that he said. Just plays I'd like to have back, that one drop, you know, things happen. The season ended, didn't end the way that we wanted to. Sounds to me like a guy who understands in Stephon Diggs his role both as a captain and a player. When you listen to his responses, there was no negative energy. It was very matter of fact, very frank. And it's apparent to me that that is a guy who no longer cares what the media thinks of his relationship with Josh. He said it. My relationship with Josh is between me and Josh, and we know where we stand together, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And frankly, you guys can think whatever you want. You can write whatever you want. The fact is, the past is the past, and what happened has been squashed. Steph is a Buffalo Bill, and just as he said, he can't control the money in the contracts. His job, my inference, is to play football, which there is nothing that says he doesn't want to do just that in Buffalo as a Buffalo Bill. But the mafia, somewhere between fiction and reality, is you, the mafia. Some of you get it. Some of you understand it. Some of you know exactly what the situation is with this contract, how he feels, with his emotions. But as always, there's a faction, there's a group, there's a subset that are much like the national media who have no clue what is going on or what the situation is with Stephon Diggs and the Buffalo Bills contractually, which in this situation makes every single bit of difference. First, I'm going to give you some stats that may or may not interest you, and I would say that they should interest you, but you know, you've got your mind made up more than likely one way or the other. So the stats I'm about to give you might not matter to you, but they should. First of all, Stephon Diggs, his first 5 career stats with the Minnesota Vikings, he had 4,623 receiving yards, 365 receptions for 30 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs, his first 4 years in Buffalo, 5,372 receiving yards, 445 receptions, 37 touchdowns. He has had in his career, and he had 2 years, I believe, with injuries, and he had a shortened kind of rookie season where he didn't play a lot. in his career, his 9-year career, 6,000 plus yard seasons, 500 plus reception seasons, 6 seasons with 8 or greater touchdowns. That's pretty impressive. At first glance, if you take just those stats, Stephon Diggs is a future Hall of Famer in the NFL. You can say what you want. You can think what you want. Those numbers, 9 years, 6,000-yard seasons, 500 reception seasons, 6 seasons with 8 or greater touchdowns, and he's got 2 or 3 years easy left in the tank. Stephon Diggs is going to the Hall of Fame. Stephon Diggs is also 30 years old. He's not a spring chicken. He's not old. He's not as old as me, but he's not young. But it's worth bringing up that age isn't necessarily on his side. He's on the wrong side of 30, right? But let's just take for a second a closer look at his seasons in Buffalo. Because a lot of people that are detractors for Stephon Diggs feel like that his production has waned, that he's become less productive. Somehow, he's not the same receiver that he was the first couple of years that he was here, when the offense was clearly different. And there's no give and take. There's no give as it pertains to that. There's no acceptance that this offense is very different than it was in 20 and 21. 2020, Stephon Diggs played 16 games. He had 127 receptions on 166 targets. Listen to what I'm saying. 166 targets, 127 receptions, 1,535 yards, 8 touchdowns. 2021, he played in 17 games, 103 receptions on 164 targets, 1,225 yards. His average average catch was 12 yards, 12.1 in 2020, 11.9 in 2021. 2022, 108 receptions on 154 targets, 1,429 yards. His average catch was 13.2 yards, 11 touchdowns. And Stephon Diggs, clearly the big drop-off in 2023, had 107 receptions, one less than last year, 4 more than 2 years ago, on 160 targets for 1,183 yards, 11 yards per reception, 8 touchdowns. The reality is when you look at these numbers, when you look at the information as it's given to you, Stephon Diggs' role is a little bit different. It was different this past year. What the Bills are doing with Stephon Diggs looks different, a lot different for fans like me who basically just use the eye test. What am I seeing? What am I looking at? I'm the guy that says stats only matter until they don't. This is one of those situations where the stats kind of matter. But Joe, it doesn't pass my eye test. He doesn't look like the same receiver. Well, we don't know exactly what it is that the Bills are asking him to do holistically. We see a part, we see a measure, we see a piece of it on the field of which he's doing different things, running different routes, and the ball isn't maybe coming to him the same way that it was before. It's still coming to him, but not in the same ways. But is that on Stephon Diggs? Is that Steph's fault? Is that information, that realism, worth us saying that he's a diva and he needs to get out of Buffalo? Like, he's the problem. This team is never going to win a championship because this guy's divisive. No. It's clear from Stephon Diggs' interviews. It's clear from Sean McDermott's interviews, Joe Brady's interviews, Josh Allen's interviews, that Stephon Diggs understands what his role was in 2023 and that he was the team player. He was on board with what his role was. I would imagine and I would guess that as Joe Brady kind of takes over this offense, which he's going to, he's been named, if you don't know, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills officially, that there's going to be a continued evolution of what his role is going to be on this football team. And if you're asking me what I expect, I'll give you a couple of things. I expect him to find an increasing workload, even more so than in 2023, in the slot, more than we saw this year. It's a natural progression. Just take a look at OBJ, Cooper Kupp. You look at any number of dominant wideouts through the years, over the last 20 years, that as they've approached 30, broken across 30, they find themselves working out of the slot more, especially the ones that are detailed, very good route runners. That was the thing about Cole Beasley, who was undersized for a wideout, but had the wiggle, the shake, and the route running capabilities to play in the slot. That is where Stephon Diggs is going to probably find most of his work. With that, I expect the Buffalo Bills, as a lot of you do as well, to draft a number one wide receiver. They're going to have to. They have no choice. You can't hang everything on Stephon Diggs at this point in that contract, which we're going to talk about, and expect everything to be better than it was in 2023. You just can't. You also have to take the head coach at his word. Sean McDermott sees the need to be explosive, and he admitted it in his press conference when he said, basically inferred that they were undermanned, they were undergunned, specifically on offense this past year. Even with Dalton Kincaid coming in, they were not explosive enough. That was the one thing about this offense last year that you could say was different over 2021. They were explosive those years. They were explosive with Stephon Diggs in those years. They also had John Brown, one of them. They had Emmanuel Sanders in one of them. Gabe Davis was a little bit more a part of the offense early on in his career than he was last year. He was also injured in 2022. But just imagine this offense that we had this year, Dalton Kincaid, Stephon Diggs, a growing Shakir, like a guy that's growing into himself, is going to continue to progress in Shakir, James Cook. Naheem Hines is coming back, who could catch the ball on the outside, split outside, you know, from the backfield, whatever. And if you add a shiny new number one rookie wide receiver to that group, it should, if the coordinator is worth his salt, cure a lot of the ugly pretty quick. It should. I would also expect the Buffalo Bills to probably noodle around with some other free agent wide receivers that are going to come on the cheap. I mean, if we're being honest, Shurfield and Hardy didn't really work out probably the way that they had wanted to. But in the end, it's the detractors that I still probably need to convince. It's the people that believe he wants out, or frankly, that just want him gone. You heard some of the tweets. And I'm going to give you some information that you can educate those people with on Twitter, around the water cooler at work, some of your family members. Because no matter how much it seems like we say that Stephon Diggs isn't going anywhere, they're always like, oh yeah, just wait, he's leaving. They're going to trade him. It's like they can't. And it doesn't matter what you say. So I'm going to give you some information. Because in his current contract situation, Stephon Diggs is uncuttable. Stephon Diggs is untradeable. I'm going to say that again for the kid in the back. In his current contract situation, Stephon Diggs is uncuttable. And he is untradeable. Stephon Diggs, for 2024, his cap hit to be rostered by the Buffalo Bills is roughly $28 million. That's a big number. And it seems prohibitive. And it's like, oh, that's so big, we got to get out of that. We can't afford to have a wide receiver that might be aging out, maybe not, but they've got to figure out how to use him for $28 million. The problem is if you cut him, or if you trade him, per Greg Thompson from the Cover One Network, and this is reality, it actually is going to cost the Buffalo Bills $31 million. A second ago, I told you that Stephon Diggs is uncuttable and he's untradeable. The reason that he's uncuttable and he's untradeable is because it's cheaper for you to keep him on your roster than it is to cut him. That would be devastating. Now you're paying $31 million for a vacant spot and no player. And the reality is that you can't trade him because no team is taking on that contract. And the only thing that they could do was put on a couple void years, of which no team is taking on the void years. And I think the Bills are still probably on the hook for the bonuses that they paid him. So it's still going to be $31 million. Stephon Diggs is going nowhere. It would cost the Bills more money to move on from him than to keep him. And lastly, I would expect the Bills, while keeping him on the team, as I said a second ago, they're probably going to restructure him, put a couple void years on it, move some of that bonus down the road. That's just basically numbers that go against the cap later. Restructure him to get that number down. They'll probably give him some more money up front And as I said, just kick the can down the road a little farther. But for some of you, and I'll apologize to you for the Buffalo Bills. I'm sorry. We're sorry. Stephon Diggs is going to be a Buffalo Bill next year. But for the rest of us, that's awesome. And I can't wait. I'm excited about the fact that Stephon Diggs is going to be a Buffalo Bill next year, because frankly, there's nobody on this roster right now that can take his place. There's nobody on this roster that is as good as he is, that can run the routes that he does, that can command the attention that he does. I like this football team. I like Stephon Diggs. Does Brandon Bean have some work in front of him? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, this team is better with Stephon Diggs on it than without. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you guys hanging with me for a couple minutes for this Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show. Real quick, again, I'm going to be, for those of you that joined late on YouTube, I'm going to be bringing you some extra content. However, it's not going to be on Buffalo Rumblings. It's going to be on my Overreaction Sports Network stuff, which has always kind of been there in the background. After the show, I'm about to hang up on you, or I'm about to close this out. Do me a favor, go over to the Overreaction Podcast, find it in your podcast. Please subscribe. Please like it. Also, search in your YouTube search bar, Overreaction Sports Network. It'll come up. You'll see the Buffalo head, my logo. Please like and subscribe there. And then also Instagram, Twitter, whatever, TikTok, find all the stuff so that you can kind of keep track of me and kind of where I'm going and what I'm going to be doing in the future. But I do want to say thank you all for hanging out with me tonight. I'll be around doing this for a little bit longer on the Buffalo Rumblings Network for this before the offseason starts. But again, once the offseason does kind of fully, truly begin, I'm going to be doing stuff, bringing extra content and doing more stuff on my own network. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you so much for tweeting at me. Those of you that did, I appreciate y'all. And I'll talk to you guys again soon. But with that, Joe Miller, Buffalo Rumblings, Overreaction. Go Bills.